Well, if you will, go ahead and turn your Bible to 2 Kings chapter 22 is where we're going to be today. 2 Kings chapter 22. But before I get into my sermon, I want to take just a minute to honor our veterans. Tomorrow is Veterans Day, and Veterans Day was formerly known as Armistice Day. You probably know the history. It was originally set as a U.S. legal holiday to honor the end of World War I, which officially took place on November 11th, 1918. And so in 1938, there was some legislation that was passed that was dedicated to the cause of world peace and to be hereafter celebrated and known as Armistice Day. And as such, the new legal holiday honored World War I veterans. But in 1954, after having been through World War II and the Korean War, the 83rd U.S. Congress, at the urging of the Veterans Service Organizations, amended the Act of 1938 by striking out the word armistice and inserting the word veterans. And so with the approval of this legislation on June 1st, 1954, November 11th became a day to honor all American veterans. And so this morning, we want to take time to honor the veterans of our church. So if you are a veteran, would you please stand so we can thank you and recognize you? Please stand. Let's give them a round of applause. Amen. We sure do love you guys a lot. We're so thankful for your service. And of course, we have others that we know of that weren't here today, and you know who they are. And make sure you tell them that you love them, that you appreciate them and what they've done for our country. All right? Okay, 2 Kings chapter 22. We're going to look specifically this morning at verses 14 through 20. And as you know, we've been going through a sermon series together on unsung heroes of the Bible, people that normally don't get much of our attention. And if you're an unsung hero, that means nobody sings your praises. Even though you've done some great things, you're significant in the history of whatever, a lot of times you don't get recognition. Well, such is the case with some of the people that we've been looking at together. Today we're going to look at a prophetess named Huldah. But I want to give you, I just want to start by saying, before we get into some of the background and reading some of the scripture, during the period of the kings, both kingdoms of Israel and Judah were becoming more and more disobedient. And there was occasional good kings, and there were occasional bad kings. There were some who were faithful and some who were very corrupt. And so God sent prophets to call his people back to himself. Prophets like Elijah, right? Elisha, Micah, Amos, Ezekiel, and Jeremiah. These were all men that were sent by God on his behalf so his people could repent and turn away from their sin and return to him. Sometimes the people listened. Other times they did not listen. But one of the lesser known prophets sent by God, though not any less significant, was a woman named Huldah. And she is our unsung hero for today. So let's have a little bit of background in her life. Go ahead and go to that next one if you will there. So Huldah is very important, and so I'm going to give you a kind of a background behind who she is, okay? Josiah became king of Judah when he was only 8 years old. I mean, that's awfully young. And the Bible tells us in 2 Kings 22:2 that he was a king who did what was right in the sight of the Lord. His father Amon was not that kind of king. He was a corrupt king. And he worshipped idols, and he built places to worship idols all over the southern kingdom. But when Josiah became king, after his father was assassinated, he was different. He was a man who sought out God, or a young man, boy at that time, who sought out God. He began to get rid of all these idols. He began to raise money to rebuild the temple. And Josiah tried to lead his people to worship the one true God as best he could. Something very significant happened as the temple was being rebuilt later on in Josiah's life. So while cleansing the temple, the high priest Hilkiah found the book of the law, probably the book of Deuteronomy. And guys, this was a great find. This was truly an amazing find. It was huge. And so when the book of the law was read to Josiah, and he heard the words of God, the Bible says that he tore his clothes in grief. He wept because of understanding that he and his nation were so far away, and he realized that he and God's people had not been obeying the words of the book. So this is where our unsung hero comes in. All this is a real turning point in Josiah's life. Josiah sent Hilkiah, the high priest, and four other people to speak to the prophetess Huldah. She was one smart lady, let me tell you, okay? She was bold in her declaration of God's word. She had authority, and when she spoke, people listened to her. And Josiah wanted to know, as he sent Hilkiah to her, he wanted to know if there would be any way, any chance that God would forgive them and so they could live at peace with God again. And so this brings us to where our passage begins this morning. So let's read our scripture together, 2 Kings 22, 14 through 20. This is Huldah's message to Hilkiah when they came to her on behalf of Josiah. So the priest Hilkiah, Ahikam, Achbor, Shaphan, and Asaiah went to the prophetess Huldah, wife of Shallum, son of Tikva, son of Harus, keeper of the wardrobe. She lived in Jerusalem in the second district, and they spoke with her. Sorry, this new Bible gets me, even though I've turned the pages several times. Then she said to them, "This is what the Lord God of Israel says. Say to the man who has sent you to me, 'This is what the Lord says. I am about to bring disaster on this place and on its inhabitants, fulfilling all the words of the book that the king of Judah has read. Because they have abandoned me and burned incense to other gods in order to anger me with all the work of their hands. My wrath will be kindled against this place, and it will not be quenched. Say this to the king of Judah who sent you to inquire of the Lord. This is what the Lord God of Israel says, as for the words that you heard. Because your heart was tender and you humbled yourself before the Lord when you heard what I spoke against this place and against its inhabitants, that they would become a desolation and a curse, and because you have torn your clothes and wept before me, I myself have heard. This is the Lord's declaration. Therefore, I will indeed gather you to your ancestors, and you will be gathered to your grave in peace. Your eyes will not see all the disaster that I am bringing on this place.' Then they reported to the king." And may God add his blessing to the reading of his word. So let's break down Huldah's message for just a minute. She spoke some very hard words to Hilkiah and the others that came before her that day. This wasn't a pleasant message. God told Huldah that the Israelites deserved to be punished because of their continued disobedience in worshiping other idols and things like that. They had abandoned God. They worshiped all these other idols. And because of this, God's anger would burn against them. She said that they would not escape destruction. But since Josiah, remember when he heard the word of the Lord, what was the first thing he did? He tore his clothes. He wept before God. But since Josiah was sorry and wanted to repent, because he tore his clothes and did all these things, humbled himself before God, her message to him was that he would be forgiven. In other words, God would have mercy on Josiah. So Huldah went on to tell Hilkiah that Josiah would die in peace before all this destruction would happen, because he alone was repentant and had done what was best to lead his people back to God. And so Hilkiah and these other people on behalf of Josiah heard the message from Huldah. They brought Huldah's prophecy back to Josiah. And then what happened is that he called everyone together and read them the book of the law, probably again Deuteronomy. And Josiah renewed his covenant before God in front of all the people. He promised to keep God's commands with all of his heart. And all the people at that time vowed to do the same. And Josiah was good on his word. If you go and read further in the passage, he did all kinds of things. He got rid of every idol in the kingdom. He burned them, and then he even took the ashes of the idols far away from where they were. He literally got rid of any trace of anything that had ever been used to worship false idols. That's how serious he was about that. And the Bible says that never before had there been a king like Josiah who turned to the Lord with all of his heart, and there's never been a king like him since. This was all because he followed God's words, amen, and he obeyed them. And we know that Huldah's prophecy would go on to be proven to be true. The reign of King Josiah was a period of calm and peace, but it was calm and peace before the storm. After he died, we know that Judah fell and the Israelites entered into exile. That was their punishment that God had told that would happen to them. But Josiah himself died in peace, just like Huldah said. This is an interesting story, and there's a lot to it, a lot of background that we have to get through. But as I read this passage, and you've probably read it too, there's some things that jumped out at me that I really want to focus on this morning as we think about what's going on here in Josiah's life, and specifically how God used Huldah to speak the word of God to him. The first thing that I want to mention here as I look at it is that we see that women have an important role in God's redemptive plan. Women have an important role in God's redemptive plan. We know that during the Old Testament times and the New Testament times, their society was very patriarchal. Men were highly favored. I mean, that's the truth. They were seen as leaders in their society. Women, many times, were viewed as inferior to men. They didn't have very many rights. They didn't have many privileges at all. They were very, it was difficult for them. But despite this, we see that God does something different than most people expect. Jesus did something different than most people expect. Despite this, God used many women to proclaim his message to Israel. So in addition to Huldah, which we read about, there's some other female prophetesses, I can't hardly say that word, that's listed in the Old Testament and New Testament. So I've got a few of them here. There's Deborah. She was the only female judge. She was also a prophet. She was essential in encouraging Barak to go to battle. Remember that story? In fact, Barak said he would not fight without Deborah being there. And so God used Deborah to speak the word of God. Miriam is listed as a prophetess in Exodus 15. The Bible says that she led women in worship after Israel crossed through the Red Sea to escape their Egyptian bondage. In the book of Isaiah chapter 8, there's a prophetess that is unnamed. She's Isaiah's wife who bore him a son. Of course, we know about Anna. We talk about her a lot at Christmas time. Anna had the privilege of seeing Christ when he was presented at the temple, which is something that the Bible says she had waited her whole life to see. She was a prophetess in the temple. You can find that in Luke chapter 2. And then in Acts chapter 21, we know about Philip's daughters. The Bible says, according to Luke's account in the book of Acts, these four women could prophesy on the Lord's behalf. And so we see God using women throughout Scripture, not just prophetesses, but there's deaconesses and other servants that God used in the Bible to take his message to other people who needed to hear. Women were very important in God's redemptive plan. You know, sadly, there are a lot of places in our world today, in areas of our world, that still continue to suppress women. And there's no doubt about it, and it's awful to what some of these women are subjected to. However, female prophets in the Bible remind us that the Lord uses women to make his glory known, both now and in the past. And so I want all of you, especially our women, to understand that God has a plan for you in his redemptive purpose. He wants to use you. You're not insignificant. You're not, subpar. God wants to use you in his redemptive plan, just like he did Huldah, just like he did these other women. So that's one thing that jumped out at me. Another thing that jumped out at me is that God doesn't always use the most obvious person as his messenger. I mean, that is true. We see that time and time throughout the Scripture. He doesn't always use the most obvious person as his messenger. I think it's pretty interesting that they went to Huldah instead of another prophet. At this time, during Josiah, at this time there were other prophets in Judah. We know that the prophet Jeremiah was alive at that time, as well as the prophet Zephaniah. But they didn't go to either of these men. For whatever reason, the Bible doesn't say, but for whatever reason, they went to Huldah, and they chose her to consult, according to hear from the Lord. How many times do we see this in His Word? Let me just say we see it a lot of times, that God uses unusual people or unusual circumstances to get His Word across. Now, this is going to kind of date me and probably date some of you. How many of you have ever watched David Letterman on late night TV? He's not there anymore. He's doing other stuff. I don't know what he's doing now. But one of his segments that he did every night was his top 10 list. Remember? He did his top 10 list, and it was always fun to listen to. Well, I actually found a website called BibleTop10.com. And on their top 10 list is this one specific one said, top 10 most unlikely people that God used for His purposes. And so here's their list. I'm going to go from 10 down to 1, okay? Number 10 was the shepherds. Unlikely people, right? They were low, they were despised, but they were the very first ones to hear of Jesus' birth, and they went and told others. And so the shepherds, unlikely people. Number 9 is Moses. What do we know about Moses? He was a wanted murderer, right? He stuttered. But God chose him to lead the Israelites out of slavery. Number 8 was Peter, and you could probably throw in the other disciples. These are ordinary men, run-of-the-mill men, ordinary guys who dropped everything to follow Jesus. And God used them significantly after Jesus died to spread the gospel to other parts of the world. Of course, number 7, we know about Gideon, right? He was young, he was fearful, and he was the least likely person to defeat the Midianites. But he became, as the Bible says, a mighty man of valor. So Gideon. Number 6 is Esther. A young Jewish girl became queen, and we know that she saved her people from annihilation. Number 5, David, a shepherd boy, the least significant in his family, becomes the king of Israel. Number 4, Rahab, a prostitute who helped Israel inherit the promised land. God used her in a mighty way. Number 3 is Saul, or Paul, a religious leader who persecuted Christians. He was breathing murderous threats against Christians. He persecuted them. He accepts Christ and goes on to write much of the New Testament and plant all kinds of churches. God used him in that way. Number 2 is Mary. A young teenage girl becomes the mother of the Messiah. And then number 1, top 10 most unlikely person or people that God used for His purpose is actually not a person, it's a donkey. Balaam's donkey warned him to avoid danger, right? We know that story. God can speak through anybody, even a donkey, to get His point across, okay? So these people and or animals, as well as the way that God used Huldah, reminds us that from time to time, listen, God will use unusual messengers, okay? He'll use unusual circumstances to get His point across. That's just like God to do that. He does that all the time. We see all these examples. But we think about some of the things that Jesus said. You know, talked about, you know, people that want to be great. Remember James and John came to Him and they're like, tell us who can sit on your right and left in the kingdom. And He said, listen, the greatest among you will be a servant. It's totally contrary to what their society knew. In fact, He said, in the kingdom of heaven, the last will be first. Now, listen, I don't know how fast any of you can run. Maybe you can run fast still. Maybe you're slow as molasses. But you know what? If you're a servant, you're going to be leading the pack in heaven because He says the last will be first in the kingdom of heaven. God uses unusual people. His definition of greatness is not what our definition of greatness is many times. So all these people, all these circumstances, animals at times, as well as the way God used Huldah, reminds us that from time to time, God will use unusual messengers. In Huldah's case, we know that there were other faithful, probably more established prophets that God could have spoken through at this point, yet He used a simple, otherwise unknown woman who was filled with the Spirit and who was bold to speak His word. So Huldah is an unusual messenger. Another thing that we see here from Scripture is that we must speak the word of God boldly. Now, if you notice in verse 16, it mentions that Huldah said that all the words of the book would be fulfilled. That's an interesting term there that we see, that all the words of the book would be fulfilled. This means Huldah would have to have known all the words of the book, right? She would have had to have been very familiar with the words of the book. She knew God's word. She understood God's word. And as I think about that passage and I think about what was written there, you know, it just goes without saying that if you want to be God's messenger, if you want to speak on behalf of God, you must know the words of the book. You must know his words. For us, it's this. We've got all of it. They only had the book of Deuteronomy at that time. But we've got all of it. And so if we want to be God's messenger, if we want to speak on his behalf, then we have to know the words of the book. Because that's how God speaks to us. He speaks to us through his word. And his word is perfect and is without error. And in declaring this message, we know that Huldah spoke boldly. Okay? She didn't hold back. She didn't sugarcoat things. She didn't water it down. She told of both wrath and blessings from God. I mean, both things were mentioned by her. Four times she indicated that what she spoke came from the Lord. This is God's words. This is not my words. This is his words. Don't shoot the messenger, right? Don't run me out. This is what he's saying. Four times she indicated that what she spoke of came from the Lord. His message was his and not hers. But she was willing to speak these words, and she was willing to speak to the king and to the priests who were the most powerful men of the nation that day. And guys, we have to do the same. We have to speak the word of God boldly. And we understand, and this is no secret to any of us, sometimes our message is not well received by others. In fact, the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 2:14, it says, but the unbeliever does not welcome what comes from God's Spirit because it's what? Foolishness to him. He is not able to understand it since it is evaluated spiritually. The things that we say from God's Word, the stands that we take and understanding what God's Word says are foolishness to those who don't know Christ because they're not filled with his Holy Spirit. And so it's very difficult. They come against it. And so it's not well received sometimes by others. But that doesn't mean that we don't say it. That doesn't mean that we shy away from it. Romans 10 verses 14 and 15 says, but how can they call on him that they have not believed in? And how can they believe without hearing about him? And how can they hear without a preacher? And how can they preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who announce the gospel of good things. How are people going to know the truth unless we share with them the truth? How are they going to know about God unless we share with them about God? How are they going to know the hard truths of the Bible if we're not willing to share the hard truths of the Bible? You know, as we think about this story of Huldah and think about us just being ordinary people, not many of us will ever be asked to speak to a king or somebody equal to that. But God calls all of us to speak his word with boldness. Amen. All of us need to speak with boldness. But guys, we should always do it in love. We understand that. That's the thing that should always, that people should recognize. I mean, Jesus talked about that with disciples in the upper room right before he was arrested and crucified. We've talked about this many times. Jesus said, guys, I'm going to give you a new commandment right now. You need to love others in the way that I've loved you. And he said, by the way that you love other people, specifically brothers and sisters in Christ, but he said, by the way that you love each other, it's how the world will know that you belong to me. And so our defining quality is love. We all wear those same colors. We're all on the same team in that sense, right? And so the way that we're defined is by the love that we have for other people. And so we have to speak the word of God boldly, yes, but we should always do it in love. We've heard the, you know, many times we read on, you know, Facebook or Twitter or whatever social media you're on, you know, people have try to have their drop mic moment, right? You know, they spout something out there, and it's like, whoo, man, I just got everybody with that. You know, I was looking at, you know, we're just coming out of this political season. Thank the Lord that we're finally done with that for a while. But so many people, you know, put things up, and I understand, I've done it too. But how many of you, your minds have ever been changed by a meme? But that somebody put up there that's meant to, you know, get you somehow, or their drop mic moment. You know, a lot of times that doesn't work, okay? And it's not often done in love. And we have to speak the word with boldness. We have to do it in love. But in order to do this, guys, we have to stand firmly upon His word. We have to trust that God will get His message across. Sometimes we don't say it right. Sometimes it doesn't come out the right way. But we still say it anyway. And we have to trust that God's going to get His message across. Huldah is a wonderful example of that. Amen? She's a wonderful example of that. So guys, let me just say, whether you stand behind a pulpit, like me, or you sit across someone over a meal, we are people of the Word. Amen? And we have to faithfully proclaim His Word in love so that the Holy Spirit can work in the hearts of others. All right? Speak the Word of God boldly. And then the final thing that it jumps out at me here is sinfulness has its consequences. We don't like to talk about that. It's not a fun topic to talk about. But it's the truth, and we need to understand it. Sinfulness has its consequences. The Old Testament prophets often pronounced judgment on Israel because of the sins of the people. And sure, Huldah spoke some encouraging words, which we all need. We all need encouraging words. But she also announced a coming judgment on Judah because of the nation's idolatry. And that wasn't pleasant. It wasn't pleasant what was going to happen to them. And this reminds us that there are consequences for our sins. You know, the most obvious thing in the Bible that the Bible tells us is this. If we live in our sin without trusting Jesus, we'll spend an eternity apart from God. I talked with a woman this week at the pantry, and she's been coming for quite a while, and she's going through cancer, and it doesn't look good for her. So I was talking to her, and she goes, I said, you know, do you know for sure that when you die, you're going to go to heaven? She goes, well, I hope so. I'm a good person and everything. And I said, listen, you can know for sure. And so I had her pull forward, and I talked to her for a little bit, shared the gospel with her, and she didn't accept. It's hard for some time for people to understand that salvation is a free gift. They don't have to work for it, you know. So you need to be praying for her that she'll come to know Christ. But the thing about it is if we live in our sin without trusting Jesus, and this is what I told her, then we'll spend an eternity. It doesn't matter if you're good. We have sin in our life that separates us from God. But the good news is that God sent His Son, Jesus Christ, to be our sin bearer, to take our sin upon Himself. And you have to trust in Him for your salvation. And so that's the greatest thing there is, if we live in our sin without trusting Jesus, then we're going to spend an eternity apart from God. Romans 6:23 says that the wages of sin is death. That means that when sin entered the world, we know through Adam and Eve, immediately we started dying. The wages of sin is death. So if we remain in our sin, it will lead to a physical and spiritual and eternal death. The Bible is very clear about that. But the good news is whenever we place our faith and trust in Jesus' death, what happens? We're a new person. We're resurrected for salvation. We have the gift and promise of eternal life, and we know that we'll be with Him forever. But the Bible also teaches that our actions also affect us at times and others. Sometimes when we do what is wrong, not only does it affect us, it affects other people around us. It's called the unintended consequences of our sin, right? We didn't necessarily mean for that to happen, but the fact of the matter is because we did what was wrong, it affected other people, maybe our families or others. The Bible teaches that our actions affect us and others at times. Listen, this is, again, it's not something that we like to think about, but when the end times come at the judgment seat of Christ, we will be judged on everything that we have done since we trusted Him for salvation. Some of us may be there a long time, you know, probably going to be me. But we're going to be judged on everything that we've done or not done after we've trusted Jesus Christ. And so these things will come back in time. And so we have to be mindful about that. Guys, this is why we need the Word of God. Amen. This is why we need the Word of God. We have to listen to God. We have to listen to His Spirit so that we can recognize when we sin that we should ask for forgiveness. I told you a few weeks ago, I know for me in my life, it's not always, but typically when I've done what is wrong, I don't typically have to have anybody tell me. The Holy Spirit speaks into my heart and I know something that I've said, maybe an action that I've had, a thought that I've had, the Holy Spirit tells me almost immediately, that was wrong. And you need to do something about it. We're filled with the Spirit. And so when the Lord brings these things to mind, as He speaks to us, as we read His Word, we can ask for forgiveness. And guys, we have to be like Josiah. When he heard the Word of the Lord, we have to humble ourselves. I'm not saying you have to literally tear your clothes. Okay, that was an outward sign of repentance for people then. We don't really do that anymore. Maybe some people do, but we don't have to do it. But we have to be like Josiah in the sense of when we know that we've sinned, we have to humble ourselves, we have to repent, and we have to commit to follow God once again. And as we know, God is a God of second chances, amen? We're so thankful for that because we so many times need second chances, and even many numbers beyond that. We need all those chances, and God does give us chances. And so we have to humble ourselves, repent, and commit to follow Him once again. Sinfulness has its consequences. So as we wrap up the story of Josiah and Huldah, the prophetess, a couple of things I want to share with you. Go ahead and go to that next slide, if you will. Some things to remember, okay? Whether you are male or female, we talked about females primarily today, but whether you're a male or female, you play an important role in God's redemptive plan. You and me, we all play an important role in God's redemptive plan. God uses abnormal means and abnormal people as His messengers, okay? We're all ordinary people, run-of-the-mill, everyday, salt-of-the-earth people, okay? None of us is the president, none of us has any, because I didn't vote for you, but none of us is in Congress or the Senate or anything like that. None of us holds high positions like that. We're just ordinary people. We go to work, we love our families, we work hard, we pay our bills, we pay our taxes, hopefully. We love our neighbors, ourselves. We're ordinary people. That's the people that God wants to use. That's the people that God wants to use. So He uses abnormal means, He uses abnormal people as His messengers. And then we have to speak God's word with boldness. We just have to. I know that sometimes our message is not popular, but we have to speak it nonetheless. We have to speak it in love. And guys, there is a way to do that. There is a way that we can love other people that are living in sinful situations, and we can speak the truth to them. There is a way to do that to where we still come across as loving. I don't know how many times I've had conversations with people that maybe a lifestyle that they lived was contrary to what God's word said. And they ask me, well, how do you feel about this? And I say, well, this is what God's word says. This is how I follow. I follow this because that's what God's word says. And so if the Bible says it's wrong, then it's wrong. And that's a hard conversation to have. But because they know beforehand that I've loved them, that I've supported them and helped them in difficult situations perhaps, they know that ultimately, even though they might disagree with me, that I love them. You know, I love the story of Harrison Butker. I think I've talked about this before. The kicker for the Chiefs. Last year, he was invited to speak at a commencement of a Catholic university. Harrison Butker is family values, traditional, you know, God's word is the source. He talked about those types of things, which really angered a lot of people in society. And the media got a hold of this and said, you know, they ought to kick him off the Chiefs. He doesn't represent the NFL, blah, 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 all this stuff. And I remember there were two people that they asked about this, Travis Kelce and Patrick Mahomes. Two of the best players on the Chiefs, right? And both of them said, listen, Harrison's a great guy. We may not necessarily agree with what he said, but we know that he loves everybody in this locker room. He's a loving guy. He's supported people. He's helped people in difficult situations. So he's welcome to say whatever he wants because we know his true character. We know his true heart. See, guys, there's a way that we can stand upon the truth of God's word and still people know that ultimately, even though we might disagree with them, that we love them. There's a way to do that. And the way that we're able to do that is through the Holy Spirit. We can't do it on our own. If we try to do it on our own, we're going to fumble and fall and fail, and it's going to be ugly. But when we rely upon the Holy Spirit, we can speak God's word with boldness in love. And then, finally, there's always consequences to our sinfulness, right? We understand that. And so that's why it's important that we follow God's word and follow his plan for our lives. As we close up, there's one more thing I want to share, and this is something we share every week. Go ahead and go to that next one. I don't know why my thing's not working here. But to put your faith and trust in Jesus. Maybe you're here today and you say, well, Pastor, listen, there's never been a time that I entered into a relationship with Jesus. So I wanted to share with you briefly how you can do that. To put your faith and trust in Jesus, here's what you need to do. Admit you're a sinner. That's what Josiah did. He admitted that his people were sinful. He was sinful. And really, if you look at the story of Josiah here, after hearing the word of the Lord, it's a picture of salvation. Because it shows us when we admit to God we're a sinner and humble and repent and ask forgiveness and turn away from our sins, that God will forgive us and restore us into a right relationship with him. So that's what needs to happen. We need to admit our sinfulness and we need to ask forgiveness and turn away from our sins. And then we have to believe in what Jesus has done for us. What did he do? Well, he came down from heaven. He lived a sinless life. He died. He was buried. He rose again. It proved that he was the real thing. And then finally, commit your life to Jesus as Savior and Lord. Maybe that's the decision that you need to make today. And maybe there's another thing that God is laying upon your heart that you need to do. Andrew's going to come and lead us in a song of commitment. And as we sing this song, you can make that commitment right where you are to the Lord. If you want to pray a simple prayer of accepting Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you can do that. If you want to come talk to me, I'll be right down here at the front, and I will talk with you and help you through whatever it is you're dealing with. If you want to talk to me afterwards or sometime this week, I'd be willing to do that as well. But now's the time to let God do business in our hearts, just like he did in the heart of Josiah. Let's let God do business in our hearts now. Let's pray, and then we'll sing and let God do his work. Father, we thank you today for the story of Josiah. We thank you for Huldah, for her willingness to be used by you to declare your words with boldness, to declare the truth, whether it hurt or not. We thank you for her willingness to be used by you, and I pray that we would be just like her, that we would know your word, and in doing so become your messenger. But Lord, I pray that we would also be like Josiah, that we would, when we recognize when there's something not right, that we would humble ourselves and repent. And that we would not just stop there, but we would take the steps necessary to make things right, just like he did. Father, maybe today you want to do that in someone's life for the very first time. Lord, I pray that if there's one here this morning that does not know you, that today would be the day of salvation for them. Give them the courage and the boldness to step out and make this decision for you. Father, we open ourselves up to you now, and we pray that you would have your way in us. And Lord, we ask all this in the powerful name of Jesus.